We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Kuf Lamed Hei, and the Magen Midovna had been discussing that an intelligent person is wary of the fact that he can fall. The fact that there is always that desire that's ready to knock us down from the level we're on. And this fear, this concern is applicable to every person, says the Magen Midovna. There doesn't exist a normal human being who does not have a Yetzer Hara. We like to think that maybe there are big people in Israel who don't have a Yetzer Hara. No such thing. If you're human, you have a Yetzer Hara. And on the contrary, Chazal say the greater you become, the greater the Yetzer Hara. Hashem always keeps the Yetzer Hara in line with the person's greatness. There should always be a challenge. So he says any person, if he's truthful with himself, he has to be concerned that he could be knocked down, because every one of us has a Yetzer Hara. And there is no time in life where the Yetzer Hara is lying dormant. He's always active. Because even as a person grows and gets smarter and crowns himself with good deeds, he should still be concerned with his desire, just like he was initially. Because the Yetzer ain't leaving. He's not even loosening his grip. Even as a person becomes an old man, as the Mishnah teaches us, don't believe in yourself till the day you die. We already know the Talmud tells us there was a great Kohen Gadol, Yohanan Kohen Gadol, who was a high priest for 80 years, meaning till the age of 100, 110. You'd think 80 years, he's Kohen Gadol, you know, he's made it. And ultimately he did. By the end of his life, he turned his back on all of tradition. He became a Sadducee. So you see, after 80 years, he could have had a change of heart. So Chazal warned us that you're never safe until Adzibula Basraisa, the Talmud says, till the last clot of earth that's placed on your grave. Until then, you have to realize that normal human beings have a Yetzer Hara. And I think this is one of the strengths of Judaism. People sometimes misinterpret it. I think the fact that we're realistic about our tendencies and the fact that we're realistic about the desires we have, so that allows us to overcome them. People look at us and they say, why are you careful with Negiah? Why are you careful with Yichud? Don't you think you've gone too far? And the answer is, open up any newspaper and you see that we haven't gone too far. You see that people who are not careful with these things, they stumble. There's normal human nature, and the problem becomes when you start looking at things as abnormal. When you start saying, no, normal people don't do that. No, normal people do that. Normal people do have desires. That's normal. And the fact that we're willing to acknowledge it gives us the strength to overcome it. The Talmud tells us stories about rabbis who would say, rabbis of the Talmud, don't leave me alone with my daughter. So, you know, if you say that publicly, people are going to say you're crazy. Why don't leave me alone with my daughter? No! The Shulchan Aruch says quite the contrary. The reason the Talmud tells us these stories is to tell us that a normal human being has desires and it's not his fault. No person can decide, I want to have this desire or that desire. But at the end of the day, if he's realistic and he's truthful about it, then he can overcome it. If he's going to make believe it doesn't exist, so then it's lurking and then it's all the more potent and dangerous. So the rabbi said, don't leave me alone with my daughter-in-law, don't leave me alone with my daughter. They told their own students or their own family members, I know my weakness, let's be honest, and let's ensure that nothing happens. And they weren't ashamed about it. Now, it's scary, right?
That's like the extreme.
That's like... But the Talmud tells us. The Talmud tells us stories about big rabbis who were honest. The Talmud tells us, listen to a powerful story. Tells us in the Gemara in Tanis that one time there was no rain. So they sent, I think it was Abba Chilkiah, that they sent to, the rabbi sent him to ask him to pray for rain. They knew he was a very pious Jew. The messengers come to him, he's busy working, he doesn't stop working to talk to them. And there's a whole story about how he carries his talis and how he carries his clothing and how he scratches himself on the way home. And he went... But our point of the story, we won't go into all the details of the story. If you're curious, you could catch it online. And on TorahForMe.org, we have Jewish stories, and we have that story there too. When he comes to the entrance of the city, his wife comes out to greet him, and she's all decked out. And then they go home, and she's dressed like you'd think she was going to a wedding. And they come back home, and the guests come in, and he gives his children to eat, and he doesn't offer the guests. And then he has the guests sit down, and he says, I'll be with you in a minute. And he goes to his wife to the kitchen, and he tells her, I know they're coming to ask me for rain, to pray for rain. Let's go up to the rooftop, and let's go pray for rain before they ask me, so that we won't take the credit for it. And they leave the guests sitting there, and they go up to the rooftop, and she goes to one corner, and he goes to another corner, and they stand there and pray, and as they're praying, these are big tzaddikim, the clouds come from her side, and it comes, and it starts pouring. And he comes down, and he asks them, okay, gentlemen, what'd you come for? So they say, well, we came to ask you to pray for rain. So he says, okay, you see, you don't need me for anything. You see, it's raining without me, okay? Guys go back, and Baruch Hashem, it's raining. So they said, not so fast. We have a few questions. Why is it that when we came and greeted you, you wouldn't talk to us? Well, I was being paid by the hour. It's not fair to cheat the guy who's paying me, so I didn't answer. Why is it that you put the talis on your shoulder? Well, it's a borrowed talis. I couldn't ruin it on my way home as I walked. Why is it that when you walked in the water, you put on your sandals? When you walked on the dry land, you took them off and scratched yourself? Well, in the water, I can't see if there are snakes or anything, so I have to protect my feet. Outside the water, I'm a poor man. I can't afford to fix my sandals every day. If I scratch my feet, that heals itself. I'll get a scar. It'll heal itself. The shoes, if they get torn, I'm stuck. I'm a poor man. How come when you came to the city, your wife came all decked out to meet you? Why? What is the answer? Because she's a smart woman and she doesn't want me to look at anyone else. So you say, what a tzaddikus and what a tzaddik. They go to the rooftop to daven, and they're davening, so clouds come. The rabbis of Israel knew that when they need rain, that's the tzaddik to turn to. And the Talmud tells us his wife was a bigger tzaddikus than he was because the clouds came from her side to indicate it was her prayer that was accepted before his. And what? She comes all decked out to see him to ensure he doesn't look at any other woman. What does that tell us? Normal human beings are going to look. The norm of a man is that he's enticed to look. And to be a big tzaddik doesn't mean that you say, I'm not going to look, I don't see, I don't care, I'm so holy that it doesn't bother me. No, to be a big tzaddik is that you're realistic about your weaknesses, and so you learn to overcome them. You do practical things to ensure you don't run into that. That's a big tzaddik. You see, he was a big tzaddik. You see, the Talmud tells us stories about his tzidkus and her tzidkus, right? And yet the Talmud isn't embarrassed to tell us she came to meet him so that when he goes into the city, he shouldn't look around, he should... Now, obviously, if she wouldn't be there, he'd also control his eyes and he wouldn't look around. But she also knew that at the end of the day, it's temptation and better help him. That's part of her job as being his wife, to ensure that he's looking where he should be looking. The Talmud tells us that Abaye and Rava, Rava's wife passed away. She came to court to collect on her on the inheritance. So Abaye looks up and he sees a gorgeous woman. He runs out of the court and goes back home and he tells his wife, I want to have time with you. So she asks him, it's the middle of the day, it's not night, what happened now? He says, a gorgeous woman came to the court. What can I do? I looked up, I suddenly saw her. I said to myself, I shouldn't be looking at a gorgeous woman, I should be looking at you, so I came home to be with you. So, but he saw it and he was honest about it. He didn't say, didn't happen, I didn't see, I don't know. No, he said it shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. So now let me rectify it as best I can. That's big people. They don't ignore where they are. Abaye, you don't have a page in Talmud where Abaye and Rava don't show up. And yet Abaye is very honest about where he's holding in life. The greatness, I see this as one of the greatest things about Judaism. We're very realistic about being normal. We're very realistic about where our human tendencies lie. And when we speak about being a giant, we don't say go be celibate. We say no, you're abnormal if you're going to go and be celibate. A normal person has to get married. A normal person has to build a family. A normal person has to live with his wife. And if he doesn't do that, then the Talmud says every day he lives in sin. That's the way the Talmud words it. The guy that doesn't get married, he thinks he can live celibate, should know that every day he's thinking improper thoughts. There's no other way to do it. We don't think that everyone could be Moshe Rabbeinu. Even Moshe's own siblings thought that he went too far. So God intervenes and says, no, Moshe is an exception. But after Moshe, the rest of us have to get married. And Chazal saying, if you don't, so then no one can live without thinking improper thoughts. It doesn't work that way. So the Magmi Duvna says, when we speak about concern over the Yetzer Hara, a person has to know, doesn't matter how big he is, doesn't matter how old he is, the nature of a human being is that every day of his life, every hour of his life, the Yetzer Hara is there. And a normal person is going to be attracted and is going to be thinking about things that he shouldn't be thinking. So a person has to be concerned, and a person has to give his attention to addressing that, to ensuring that he doesn't end up thinking that way. That he takes care of his Yetzer Hara. How does he take care of his Yetzer Hara? So there are many formulas. One is avoid temptation. Be it avoid temptation by avoiding areas that will cause a person to think that way, or avoid temptation by putting your internet usage in a center place where you know you're not going to end up doing things you shouldn't be doing. Or it could be avoid temptation by getting married, or it could be avoid temptation by what the Rambam says. Shene yetzel tokefet el atalev apanui min hachokhma. Desire for improper things is always there when you're not busy doing something intelligent. If you're busy doing something intelligent, if you're focused on your job, if you're focused on learning Torah, so then the Yetzer Hara doesn't have room to enter because you're busy doing something intelligent. If you're not busy doing something intelligent, you're sitting idly by, so then the mind wanders usually in one direction, and it's not up. Top in ken. If so, says the Magen Midubna, re'eu v'chon mamodam kutach b'lot ha'yetzer el adam. You should notice how cunning the desire is, the Yetzer Hara is, and how he plots to take a man down. Because he's always thinking, where is man headed? How am I going to knock him down? And he's always looking at your footsteps. And he's patient. He's waiting even until the day a person dies to knock him into and catch him in his trap. To entrap him. And don't trust what you'd like to believe, that you tell yourself, I'm going to be okay. As the pasuk says, the verse says, if God likes the path you're on, so then even your enemies will make peace with you. So you think to yourself, okay, I'll be okay. You know, God will help me out because I'm going to try to go in His path. It doesn't work that way. When the Talmud discusses who's a Beinoni, who's a mediocre type of person, Sir Rava says about himself, I'm mediocre. You know, there are tzaddikim, there are sham, and then there are middle of the road. I'm a middle of the road guy. That's what Rava says about himself. Rava, one of the greatest rabbis in Talmud. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to say? V'ayira hazot u'yal kol kitot mnei adam, haktanim v'gdolim v'tovim chasidim anshei maseh. And so therefore this concern that one has to be aware that the Yetzer Hara is always there, ready to knock a person down, that's applicable to any person. Small or big, good and pious, a person who's active in doing good deeds, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the Yetzer Hara is there. Asher aleihem yarov ha-yetzer b'shtadut ha-yoter gdolah. And quite the contrary, the Yetzer Hara is even more active with regard to them. He invests overtime in these people. Kmo she'amar Abaye yan ma'amar ki'gdil la'asot, u'v'tamdei chachamim yoter mikulam. About the verse, Ki Gdi Lasot, Abaye says, the Yetzer Hara works his hardest against the sages. And that's what our sages taught. The bigger a person is, the greater his Yetzer is. And maybe we'll conclude with a line of humor that my father told me when I was a kid. And I think there's a lot of depth and truth to it. You know what? We have two lines to end the chapter, so we'll end the chapter and then I'll tell you. Lachen shiti chalayl tzilech. Therefore, the Magen Midubna says that you should place your shadow like the night. And again, he's using metaphorical terms from the Prophet, meaning just like at night, your shadow, everything's shadow, right? It's all darkness. So focus yourself like the nighttime. Focus your shadow like the shadow in the nighttime when the shadow is all enveloping. To save yourself from this enemy who's lying in ambush, and then Hashem will support you both where you can do things intelligently and even where you lack the intelligence to succeed. If you've done your best, then Hashem will help you even in areas that are beyond your own capacity. Then Hashem will help you. Once you've done your best, Hashem helps you even in things that are beyond our understanding. So on this line, whoever's bigger than his friend, well then his desire, his evil inclinations are also greater than his friend. So my father told me when I was a teenager, he said, but don't think that just because you have a big Yetzer Hara, you're a big person. If you think about that, that's really, you know, it sounds humorous, but it's really true. Because the way Hashem did it is that at every stage in life, a person thinks he has a big Yetzer Hara. That's the idea of Kol HaGadol M'chadro Yitzro Gadol Imenu. So the truth is, it's humorous, but it's also true.
Everybody's got a big Yetzer Hara.